You are now listening to Coach with your host, Kyle Terrell. The best place to go for teaching you how to train your body into the condition you've always wanted.
In the gym and fitness world, it can be intimidating to reach the next level and even know what that next level looks like. And so today I'm joined by personal trainer Kyle Devlin. Kyle is known as the approachable trainer, and he shares his inspiring story of where he started and where he is today, as well as we have a great conversation about the best strategies of what it takes to push beyond your physical limits and how that's going to carry over into personal fitness and other areas of your life. So I know you guys are really going to enjoy this episode. Before we get started, don't forget you can join my Facebook community. All you have to do is type in Coached Podcast on Facebook. That will take you to the Facebook page, and then click on Join Group right at the top, and you'll be able to interact with other members that listen to this podcast, as well as others that can have great advice for what you're going through. And I'm very active on there as well, so I'm happy to answer any questions that you have through that forum. But without further ado, here is my interview with Kyle Devlin. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Coached. I'm your host, Kyle Terrell, and I'm here with a good friend of mine, Kyle Devlin. Don't confuse our names. I'm Kyle. He's Kyle. There's a lot of Kyle on this podcast, but that's okay.
Two Kyles, so, Kyle,
how you doing,
one.
Man? Exactly. Well, good, man. Well, hey, I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah.
You know, just to start, I want everybody to know about you and basically just what you stand for, what your story is. Can you just go over how you got started in the fitness industry and just really just your story?
Sure, absolutely. First of all, I just really appreciate you asking me to be on your podcast. I'm stoked to do it. My name is Kyle Devlin, as you said. I'm a personal trainer based out of Kansas City, Missouri. And I've been training for about 5 or 6 years now. And my story is probably one that's pretty common. I was working a pretty stressful job about 10 years ago. And I was actually working at a call center. And I started to experience panic attacks for the first time in my life. It kind of came out of nowhere and it really jolted me. I didn't really know what was happening. And went to my doctor. Doctor said, it's very common. This is generalized anxiety disorder. I'm going to give you some medication. So I started taking a very low dose of escitalopram, which I guess is a generic Lexapro. And I was taking 5 milligrams a day. So very low dose, but it just kept me even keel. And my doctor told me that I wouldn't panic anymore. And he was right. I would still feel bouts of anxiety sort of creep up because I worked that job for a few years, but the medication sort of cut the panic off at the knees. And somebody suggested to me not long after I started taking the medication that I should probably start implementing some exercise of some kind, because that would probably do what the anxiety meds were doing just in a natural way. And I had worked out previously in my early 20s, and I got in decent shape, and I knew how I felt around that time. And I did feel better when I was active and exercising on a consistent basis. So I started doing that again. And initially I was pretty confused as to what to do. I would walk into the gym. I was working out at Gold's here in town, and I would walk upstairs where they had all their cardio equipment, and I would just, you know, hit quick start because I didn't want to look stupid. Mm-hmm. Didn't really know how to operate any of the machines that were on the downstairs level. And nothing really happened. My body didn't really change. At this point, I was 26 or 27 years old. And I transitioned to another locally owned gym. It was a smaller gym that was down the street because my friend was working there at the time, and he was my roommate at the time. And some of the trainers, I just befriended them, and they started really teaching me how to lift. And within about a month to 6 weeks, my body started to change just from lifting instead of doing lots of monotonous cardio. So yeah, once I started to introduce lifting into my exercise regimen, that's when I really started to notice my physique was changing. So that was sort of like a force multiplier of motivation. And I started working out 4 or 5 times a week pretty consistently. And I just lifted. I kind of transitioned from cardio over to lifting and worked with some of the trainers when they were working out in the middle of the day when they didn't have clients. And within about a year, I had just completely transformed.
Wow. Yeah, man, that's cool. And you know, I know that when we first connected, I told you a similar story about me and you know, about working in a call center. And mm-hmm. your response was, man, there's something about working in call center. And, and I think you're right. I mean, just the corporate environment and, you know, in general, it's like there's so much stress associated with it, especially when you're locked in that position.
Absolutely.
Like all day. I mean, yeah. and you're not standing up and,
it's slightly claustrophobic. Yeah. And I think, you know, you're just very sedentary. Like I literally had a headset that was attached to a computer, so I couldn't get up if I wanted to. And we would start 7 a.m. We had to get there early because we had to be on the phone by 7 on the dot. That was part of the stipulation to getting there on time and clocking in, so to speak, on the computer. And it was tough. You know, I'd work there until 5 o'clock. I think we only had a half an hour lunch break, and I was actually a debt collector. So I was calling people asking for money. And this was around 2008, 2009 when the recession hit. So we were just, nobody had any money. So we were just trying to sell these payment plans, and it was just incredibly stressful. And mm-hmm. I remember sitting in the parking lot and just having sort of these waves of dread. And it just sort of manifested into panic. But luckily, I don't do that anymore. I get to do what I love. I get to train people.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, your mindset and just everything you feel during the day has to be completely different. I mean, you must feel absolutely. Like a different person.
Yeah. I still, to this day, there's some days where you wake up, and I think even the best job in the world, the ideal job for you, you're still going to have days where you wake up and you may not necessarily want to do it. I will catch myself sometimes and just get really grateful that I'm not working in a call center anymore. I'm just thankful that I get to do this. I get to, you know, set my own hours and sort of train as much as I want or as little as I want with people that I really care about and that I've cultivated a relationship with over years. So I'm very fortunate to do what I get to do.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I think so too. I mean, I actually miss training full time in the gym, which is partially why I wanted to start this podcast, because it's so much of a hobby in my life. You know, I had to do something with fitness that I've never been able to put it down. And
so you got the bug.
So, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Like every day, man, I'm always, you know, my wife gets sick of me talking about gut health and you know, aesthetics and all this stuff. She's like, gosh, you know, I was like, you've heard all these things, but I definitely miss it. And I would say, you know, one thing that you're really good at and, you know, I've seen this, you know, on your Instagram page and just through talking to you is, you know, how you connect fitness to like personal growth and development.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that you're really good at articulating, you know, in your videos and just through your people. And so I can only imagine what your clients, you know, think about that. And so that's something that I want to get into with you. You know, how do you do that? You know, like, what do you think the best way is to connect fitness, in other areas of life?
Sure. Yeah, no, I appreciate you saying that. There, you know, I think at this point, I feel like there's a bit of a cultural shift with fitness and personal development and personal growth. They seem inextricably linked at this point. And you see a lot of people who are just sort of getting introduced to fitness. And I think one of the big motivators that keeps them going is the fact that they're doing something difficult each day and they have those small wins. And it's just that little bit of adversity that they have to triumph over. And I think there's obviously a huge metaphor in there for, you know, lifting heavy things and busting past plateaus and going beyond certain thresholds. I mean, you could definitely translate and transfer that into a lot of different areas of life. And I feel as if when you're lifting and you're getting stronger physically, you're also just as a natural byproduct getting stronger mentally as well. The physical resiliency tends to transfer into mental resiliency. And I've experienced that myself, and I've experienced that with a lot of my clients they're, you know, I train mainly women, which is something that when I first started training, the other trainers told me would happen because women tend to reach out for help a little bit more often. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's different depending on the setting that you're in, but a gym pop gym or general pop gym, you're generally going to be training more, females. That's, it even said it in my textbook when I got certified. But a lot of times I think culturally there's still sort of the myth that women can't lift heavy things, which is just complete nonsense. And there's still trainers out there that sort of purport that women need to continue lifting lighter weight. And, you know, I think whenever I work with someone, whether it be male or female, when they realize how strong they are, when they make that connection, it's a huge deal for them. And I feel like that mental fortitude just coincides with that physical attribute. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a great lesson in there. You know, when you can do something difficult and chase the hard things and delay gratification for a little while, I think it just makes you a lot more resilient as a person. So when something happens out of nowhere, which it usually happens in life, it's those inevitable curveballs that life tends to throw us. I think you just have a little bit more fortitude to dealing with them.
Yeah, man, I agree. You know, in my life, that's definitely true because when I'm consistently lifting, I feel so much better. And oh, yeah. I also get more done, in my work. You know, I'm just, because I'm not as tired. I mean, there's all these other physical benefits that come with that as well.
Absolutely.
And you just, you know, you feel like treating yourself better. And, you know, I think when people start to work out, I mean, like a switch gets turned on, like you start reading more,
sure.
You start really getting into personal development more, you know, how can I better myself as a person? And so
absolutely,
it takes a, you know, and I talked about in the, you know, in the first series, I actually did a series on, it's called What Your Personal Trainer Isn't Doing.
Cool.
And oh yeah. Yeah. You found it really interesting. And what it is it talks about the inside of gyms and like basically just the, you know, like the process of how personal training is now compared to how it was like 10 or 15 years ago and how much it's changed. Absolutely. And just how, honestly, I just kind of trash trainers because they're just not really any good ones anymore. And so what I said on there on like the last episode was, hey, you know, not every trainer is bad. If you have a good one, I want to have them on the podcast.
Oh, cool.
Because yeah, they just don't exist anymore. And I think that you're absolutely one of those guys because, a good one, because now you've been able to articulate that it's not just about taking somebody through a bunch of reps.
Right.
You know, anybody can do that. You can do it by yourself and do a circuit,
sure.
But it doesn't mean you're not going to break through any barriers doing that. And so, yeah, I mean, just being able to support, your clients like you do. I mean, I think that's great. And, you know, another question that I want to get into too, and this kind of sparks my brain is, you know, I think so many people take that for granted as well.
Oh yeah.
You know, what they can or won't do, I should say.
Sure.
You know, just as far as moving and just being able to walk and you know, anything. I mean, anything in life. You know, the fact that you can think right now for yourself is, you know, definitely a gift. You know, what do you think, you know, people take for granted the most? I would say one, in, you know, just in the general pop gym, you mm-hmm. know, like you see. And then two, just how does that translate to life as well?
Sure. Absolutely. I think when it comes to sort of the physical nature of just being in a gym, one of the things that I think people tend to take for granted, you kind of hit it on the head right there. Like just being able to move, you know, with free range of motion without pain or discomfort. I think that's a pretty amazing thing that, you know, some people they're not exactly able to do those things. You know, whenever they move, they might experience pain, you know, maybe from previous injury or maybe from a lifetime of just living a sedentary life. That can sort of translate into, you know, non-free range of movement. And I think people tend to take those things for granted. They don't necessarily appreciate the fact that just being able to move is a gift. And I think one of the things that sort of gets overlooked in the gym is we're doing basic maintenance on our bodies, but we're also telling our bodies to move and to move efficiently and to practice moving so that we can continue moving in the real world without pain or discomfort. So mm-hmm. I think that's something we take for granted. Sometimes I tell my clients to just go for a walk. And if it's, you know, a good part of the year, it's kind of humid and muggy at this point. We're at the end of the summer months. But, you know, under ideal conditions, just going for a walk is just such an amazing thing, you know, out in nature, if you have the ability to do it. And, you know, just being mindful of your steps and just being mindful of the having the ability to move freely without any pain. That's a pretty mm-hmm. amazing thing. And I think we take it for granted until we do injure ourselves, and then we really don't take for granted the ability to move without pain. So right. It's sort of like getting ahead of it, but there's also a bit of a meditative process to it, just being aware of your surroundings and being a little bit more introspective and intentional about the things that you're doing on a daily basis.
Yeah, man, I think so too. So this is going to be fun. So I want to play a game with you a little bit.
Okay.
You know, what is, okay, so a brand new client comes to you. Mm-hmm. What do you think like the best movements are to start somebody out? Or hold on, let me rephrase it. The best movements that they should be doing if you can get them to do them properly. Okay. So one for me, I would say, this is my personal favorite, the deadlift.
Yeah,
obviously it takes technique to get there, but I think one of the eventual goals is I think everybody should be incorporating that into their or some form of it into their routine once they can get the obviously do it correctly.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
What are a couple other movements you think that you know that you try to work through your clients with that are beneficial of what we were just talking about?
Sure, a lot of times I think it depends on the goal of the person, but yeah, I think you know one of the big three. Being the deadlift, that's definitely a movement or just a hinge in general, because I do so many different variations of hinge movements with my clients. Mm-hmm. It's just such a powerful movement, you know, just being able to lift something heavy off the floor. I think that just makes people feel powerful. So that's mm-hmm. definitely one. I definitely agree with you there. And I should say, if that's king, then maybe squats are queen. So the squat movement, you know, and just being able to delineate between the two movements is huge. And then bench press is one that I like, or just any type of a press variation, whether it be vertical press or horizontal press. Mm-hmm. And same thing with pulls. I like doing the big compound movements and just getting really proficient at those first with most of the general population that come to see me. And, you know, we're always sprinkling in some isolation movements and maybe a couple plyometric movements, depending on what their fitness level is. We might do a very light cardio protocol if they're trying to lose body fat or lean sure. down. But usually in the beginning, I'm trying to get them proficient in those big compound movements. So that one that you mentioned, the hinge movement, squats, presses, and all the compound pulls as well, rows and pull downs and pull ups. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of all the basic bodybuilder movements.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's where people go wrong. I mean, even you were saying that at the beginning before you got certified, all you would do is get on the treadmill or elliptical. Yeah. And then things changed. Actually started to change when you started lifting weights. And that is one of the biggest mistakes that people make.
Was in the cardio comfort zone. That's what I call it.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are kind of stuck there, and they may not realize that for their particular goal, it may not be the most beneficial thing that they can do. I'm not saying that you can't lose weight if that's the goal, or lose body fat doing cardio. It's just I think a lot of people, that tends to be the one thing they feel comfortable doing in the gym, and they never feel comfortable venturing out into the free weight area or the cables or even the strength machines. And mm-hmm. That's usually what I'm trying – that's the barrier I'm trying to push over, just to show people that it's not – as scary as it may seem, it's not as daunting as it may seem. And I was definitely one of those people where when I saw the weight equipment, it was daunting and I was a little intimidated and I didn't want to look stupid. So I went straight to the treadmill and hit quick start. But you're right. Once I started lifting, that's when my body really started to change and transform.
Yeah. 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 Break beyond the curl, you know, the bicep curls and the cardio, and you'll.
Oh yeah.
You know, you'll definitely get in those multi-joint movements.
Sure.
So, I mean, for you guys listening, obviously, you know, we mentioned pulling and pushing. And so I think that's how I used to teach a lot of my clients how to think about it. Like a deadlift is more of a pulling movement,
mm-hmm.
you know, squats more of a pushing type of movement.
Yeah. I do the same thing.
Bench press, row. It's so much easier to explain that way.
Sure.
And so, you know, in this podcast, that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on is, you know, the goal is to teach people how to train their bodies in the condition they've always wanted. And so we want to, you know, obviously give you guys enough information to be able to visualize it on a simpler level.
Sure.
And I think Kyle just nailed it on the head. I mean, just push, pull, you know, that kind of thing. And it's easier to visualize that. And so there's rowing machines, you know, there's bench press machines to get started, you know, that type of thing.
Absolutely.
So, all right, man, I got one last question for you.
Great. Let's do it.
And this is a question I like to ask on every podcast, because it's really personal to the guest that's on there. And that is what drives you? And so what I said at the beginning of the podcast is, you know, there's very few people in life that I feel, you know, really have a good head on their shoulders and have been able to put the work in and been willing to put the work in to, you know, to better themselves and, you know, in all areas of life. And that's the type of guest that I want on the show. And so I believe that you're one of those guys.
Well, thanks.
You know, just by seeing that. And so I want to know, you know, when I run into people like this, since there's so few of you guys, you know, what drives you, you know, like what is the driving force behind Kyle Devlin and, you know, what was that reason for that switch going off of your brain, to start to become a better person?
Sure. That's a good question. I think the thing that drives me is just my insatiable, for lack of a better word, need to just keep doing things and keep progressing in life and keep transcending limits if I have the ability. I think it's also just the fact that I've always been a bit of a questioner. So I sort of ask questions, when I see somebody doing something, I'm usually the first to question, is that the best way to do it? And I think I'm also just, I've got a bit of an entrepreneurial drive. And I think when you have that sort of self-starter entrepreneurial drive, you take action much quicker than maybe some others might, because I guess I'm saying I don't really take the time to second guess myself on a lot of things. Like, I'm okay with putting myself out there. A lot of the posts that I do on social media and things, I think some people might take a look at that, and if they were writing something similar, they might say, well, that's a little vulnerable. I don't know if I necessarily want to put that out into the ether, into the world. They might second guess themselves a little bit, or self-edit too much, or self-critique themselves too much. I tend to not do that. I tend to just impulsively do things. And I think there's a certain level of creativity associated with it. Like, I like being creative, and I see this whole thing as being a way to be creative. And I like being a bit of an entrepreneur. I'm an independent contractor as a trainer. So I like being the one in charge of my destiny. And I think if you recognize that and you enjoy that, you have to take smart, purposeful action every single day. And I think that just sort of cultivates a drive and an intention and sort of this internal motivation.
So have you always had that?
I think so. You know, I was a musician for many years, and I think you have to have a certain level of that when you're in a band as well. I remember when I was promoting shows as a teenager, I would literally go to all the venues in Kansas City, and I would pass out flyers at the end of the show. You know, even on school nights, I would drive out there and I'd wait until the show got over, and I would print out all the flyers at Kinko's an hour beforehand, and I would pass out hundreds of these flyers. And, you know, before I knew it, there was hundreds of people coming to our shows as a local band. And that was a pretty big deal for me at the time, you know, being a 16, 17 year old kid. And I think in a lot of ways, I'm still doing the exact same thing. I'm just putting myself out there, and I'm just, you know, trying to be top of mind for as many people as possible so that, you know, one day if somebody, you know, happens to be a mutual friend on social media and sees one of my posts, it resonates with them. And maybe they've always wanted to get in shape, or maybe they've never felt comfortable reaching out to somebody and now they do. And so yeah. I'm that authority figure. So I think it's all connected that way as far as why I continue to do the things that I do just on a consistent, regular basis.
Mm-hmm. What'd you play?
I played guitar.
Like electric or acoustic or what? I mean, what's your specialty?
I always played electric in the bands. Always,
so you guys were rock?
I always had
you guys
were rock band? Available. Yeah, we were a rock band. We were kind of like a pop punk band in the vein of like Jimmy World, Blink-182, that kind of style.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, it was
Blink,
fun.
Man. Blink is definitely on my list. So I like their new stuff too.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
Yeah, the new stuff's great.
Have you seen them live?
No, I haven't, okay, but I want to.
Yeah, you should definitely go check them out the next time they're in Dallas.
Oh, absolutely. I would love to. I would love to. Well, man, thanks again, you know, for being on and sharing your story. I'd love to have you on again as well.
Yeah, let's do round two.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of these, you know, I think a lot of the guys that, you know, gals that I'll have on, I want to have on, you know, multiple times because, you know, people want to hear more of your story and just more about what's going on with you. But that being said, how can people find you? And then what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Sure. There's a couple different ways. My Instagram handle is Kyle Devlin Fitness, and I've got a new website that I'm going to launch here in a little bit, and it's going to be devlinfitness.com. And yeah, just reach out to me. You can DM me. I'm always answering messages via the social medias, and I love talking to people. So thanks so much for having me on your podcast. I'm honored. I really appreciate it.
Of course. The honor is mine. Well, guys, check out Kyle Devlin. Go follow him, and I'll be sure to put those in the show notes as well. But it was a pleasure having you.
Yeah, pleasure being on. Thanks, man.